We started? Yes? Okay. Topic for today, in the crash course, we moved from the Zmanim, times, to now books. So the first book I want to talk about is the Book of Books, and that is the Torah. So, here I'll give you a handout. How many books are there in Tanakh? Tanakh, how many? 24. It's on the sheet that I gave you. So you see the 24. There are what? How many books of Chumash?
Five.
Okay, good. How many books are there of the Nevi'im? So we know we divide them into Nevi'im Rishonim. Right? Nevi'im Rishonim are what? Which books?
Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel.
Malachim. Good. Then we have Nevi'im Achronim, which are, you can see it on the thing, Yishai, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and Treyas are considered one book. Then we have the Ksuvim, and the way to remember the Ksuvim, okay, we're going to get to it, we get to Ksuvim. But anyway, let's go to the Chumash. Okay, one of the, when we look at the Chumash, so we know there are Chamishei Chumashei Torah, and there are Parshat HaShavua, Parshiot HaShavua. The truth is that is the wrong, incorrect name. Instead of saying the Parsha, it's really the Sidra. Sometimes you'll see certain Svarim that refer to it as the Sidra of the week. The reason is Parsha is every time you have a paragraph. Okay? When you open up to like any page, you see a paragraph. When you have, in other Chumashim, it'll be a Pei and a Samach. So what's the Stuman, the Psucha, okay. So if it's Psucha, so then it goes to the end of the line, like over here, up on the top. And when it's Tuma, it's got a space, if I remember correctly, 8 letters. And these are paragraphs. That's really a Parsha. This, what we refer to as a Parsha, is really a Sidra. Okay? Our minhag is to read the entire Chumash once a year. There would then be 54 parshiot or sidurot, but in the time of Chazal in Eretz Yisrael, they had 3 to 3.5 years. So there's different views. If there were 154 or 157 or 167 sidurot, but using, let's say, the middle one, it meant each parshat HaShavua was roughly 35 to 40 psukim. Sort of like when you read Parshat Nitzavim, Vayelech, those like short ones that we get at the end of the Chumash. That was the regular reading for any weekday. You know, no Aliyah was that long. You had 7 Aliyot and you're 35 or so Psukim. And okay, it's like when we read on Mondays and Thursdays, these short little, like, you know, break it up. Kriyat HaTorah obviously took a lot less. But also interesting, it means instead of having like 54 Haftarot, there was like 154 Haftarot.
She's might have actually gone through all of...
Or maybe all of Nevi'im, right? There was like a lot more Haftarot than we are accustomed to. In the Torah, even though it says in Gemara Kiddushin that there are 5,888 psukim, in our Chumashim there are 5,845. Okay, people try to get into what does that mean? Moshe Feinstein has an interesting halacha that if you someone read, a Bal Kori read, how many psukim do you have to read for an aliyah?
At least three.
At least three. Someone read two long psukim and then stopped, we won't make him necessarily go over again because maybe that was actually three psukim because we know we're missing 43 psukim because it was 5888 and we have 5845. So maybe what we call these two long psukim were really three psukim. So it's an interesting halacha from it. Yeah, what do you want to say?
What's the numbers on the side?
Like page numbers?
That's the page numbers. I just photocopied from
there. That's funny.
Okay. Now, the prakim in Chumash are 187 prakim, and the prakim were made up by the church. Okay, this has nothing to do with Judaism. And you could see what happened was... We know the first book that was printed on the printing press, the European printing press, was the Bible. And the Christian Bible starts with the Old Testament, what we call the Only Testament. And therefore, they came up with chapters. Now, you could see from it that we don't agree with the way that they did that. For example, Bereishis, Perek Bet, starts with the seventh day of creation. Obviously, we would group all 7 days of creation together. But in the Christian Bible, 6 days were chapter one. Chapter two begins with Shabbat. Okay? Now, you have both Parshat Matot and Parshat Pinchas that begin with Pasuk Bet. Right? The last pasuk of the previous parak was a parak. You have a similar thing. Bereishis, parak lamed bet, begins three psukim before the end of Vayetze. There's other examples as well. You can see that the way they divide it is not the way we would read it. The obvious question, give me a second, Baruch. The obvious question then is, so why? Why do we... It's okay. Why do we continue to use it? Why not have a chumash that is divided according to Jews? I went to a Siyum HaShas, I don't know how many ones ago, in Yerushalayim. Some guy was trying to sell a Tanakh that he made up with the prakim divided according to the way the Jews are divided. And no one was buying it. Why?
All the
sources. If you don't look up any source, you can say, go see Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. And his sefer, it might be Perek Chaf, you know, Pasuk Tet Zayin. No one will be able to find anything. Koran has on the side, right? They try to do it on the side. Also, Jews were getting into lots of debates with Christians, and they needed to use a uniform Bible. They're going to start arguing over, you know, what does it say about the virgin birth in Isaiah 7:14 or 14:7, I can't remember right now, in Isaiah. You can't sit there and say, well, my Bible, I can't find that passage you're referring to. So they used the same, I think it's 7:14. They used the same, they needed to use the same Bible that that everyone was using, that the Christians had printed. Yes, you had your hand up before?
He did.
Okay. We're good?
No, I was just going to
okay. Now, we refer to the Torah also as Chumash. Chumash, from what word? Chamesh, right? Five. What's the Latin word or Greek word that's sometimes written there? The Pentateuch. Pentateuch. Pent, from like Pentagon, is five, right? So that's what it is. The Torah we're referring to right now is the Torah Shebichtav. We know there's also the Torah Shebichtav. We'll get to that as well. But this is the Torah Shebichtav. Even with the Torah Shebichtav, there are many layers. When you learn Chumash, people refer to Pardes. Anyone know what that's an acronym for? What's Pardes? Different ways that you can approach the text. Okay, I'll tell you the first one. Pei is for Pshat.
Oh, okay.
Resh. Do you know any of them?
It's like Mefarshim.
Yeah. So what is it? Okay. Pshat, Resh, Remez. Remez, we like gematrias and stuff like that. Then we have a Dalet. It's Dalet, Drush. Good. We have so many Drushot in our Gemara. Drushot from it's written like this. And Samach is Sod. Sod is the Kabbalistic. Mystical teachings. In the Ramban, very often you'll see him write Valpi Derech HaEmes, and then he's going into mystical stuff, and that's usually where I got lost. Okay, I told you I was very disappointed when the new art scroll Ramban came out. I said, oh good, let me go see how, and it says in the English, over here the Ram is going to mystical stuff, we're not translating, we don't understand it. And like, I was going, what? Like, what good are you? I could have also cheated and just said, I don't know. I wanted somebody to do the work for me. So I don't know. I was a little disappointed. But there are mefarshim that do all four. If you look at the Aruch Chaim, or Rav Bina Sfandav, Aruch Chaim will often give you Pshat, Remez, Drasha, and Sod. So these are different ways. Also, we're familiar with the Gemara that says the same way that like a hammer smashes the anvil and there's so many different splintering out. So there's Shivim Panim LaTorah. So I remember I once went to Nechama Leibowitz And I told her a chiddush I had, and she said no. I said, well, Shivim Panim Torah. She goes, yeah, Shivim, not 71. I said, oh, okay. It was like outside. It didn't make it into the 70. All right, fine. Not everything you could say is considered legitimate. That's what I learned. Okay, anyway. The Torah is the book of the origin of the Jewish people and our covenant with God. The word literally means what? What does Torah mean? That's or. What's Torah? What's Mora?
Teacher.
Good. Instructor. Torah is instructions. If the Torah is referred to as Torah Chaim, so then it is what? Instructions for a life. Good. Like the, now, the what we call the Sidra, or what is known as the Parshiot, it's usually the first major word in the Sidra. So you're not going to have 15 different parshiot beginning with the word Vayidaber. So we just go to we'll go to the first major word. I do wonder why Parshat Noach, we have Noach, and it begins Ele Toldot Noach, and yet Parshat Toldot is not called Yitzchak. I'm not sure, because there's Ele Toldot Yitzchak. So why is this one just going by the name? My guess is they didn't want to have a Parshat named Yitzchak, and how come there's not one for Avram and Yaakov? That's my guess. But usually the first major word, and the same thing applies to the names of the Chumashim. The names of the Chumashim, we have a parasha, the first parasha in each of those Chumashim is the same. But it's the first major word in the Chumash. But we all know, we English speakers, that there are English names for the book. So what's Bereishis?
Genesis.
And what's Shmos?
Exodus.
And Vayikra? And what's Bamidbar?
Numbers.
And what is Dvarim?
Geometry.
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy. Not trigonometry, but yes, Deuteronomy. Now, and not geometry. Deuteronomy. Now, where do these names come from? Now, I'll give you the good answer. There, Chazal gave names to these five books based on the content. And the Greek translations are based on the names that we find in the Midrash. Sefer Bereishis, which we call Genesis, is referred to by Chazal as Sefer HaBriah, which is what Genesis means. Exodus refers to us leaving Mitzrayim. Chazal referred to it as Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Vayikra is known as Torat Kohanim, and that's the tribe of Levi, Leviticus. Bamidbar, what? Bamidbar, right. But Midbar is referred to as Chumash Pkudim, and that's the taking the census, the numbers. And Devarim is referred to as Mishneh Torah, which means repeating the law, which is what Deuteronomy means. Okay, so just to understand, like the names that we're so familiar with, but we don't really know where it came from, it's not like a bad translation of Bereishis Shmos. It's the translation of Chazal's names for these. Now, which of the five books of Chumash are in chronological order?
R.
Shmos. Is Bereishis in chronological order?
No.
Yes. Yes.
There's so many things that you said are out of order.
In order.
Bereishis
and Devarim. Shmos, is it in order?
Yes.
Yes.
Isn't it Machlokes some parshiyos by B.E.S.?
Not so much. Like, Shmos is a question when Yisro came. Right. But for the most part, Shmos in order. Is Vayikra in order?
No.
No. We'll come back to that. Is Bamidbar in order?
Yes.
Yes. Is Devarim in order?
Yeah.
No. Devarim is just speeches. Not really sure when Moshe said them. So Devarim is speeches of Moshe before he dies. Vayikra is unique. It's a book of mitzvot. The order is not chronological. It begins with the Ohel Moed, and then goes back to Har Sinai. And Har Sinai came before the Ohel Moed, right? The end of Vayikra, we have Parshat Bahar, right? Bahar Sinai, even though we were in the Ohel Moed before that. But Vayikra deals with the now completed Mishkan and the relationship we have with Hashem now that the Shekhinah is in our Mishkan. So it's a out of order book. Maybe Devarim is. We're not really sure what the order the speeches were in. So maybe they are, maybe they're not. So let's now go through the theme of each. Bereishis. How many years does Bereishis span?
Approximately 2,000?
Yeah, approximately 2,000 years. Just Parsha Bereishis is about 1,000 years, and Parsha Noach is about 1,000 years. Right? Because Adam until Noach, Noach is born in 1056, and Noach until Avram, Avram is born in 1948. Right? Yeah. So each of the first two Parshiot are about 1,000 years. From Avram until we get to Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's 500 years. Then another 40 years in the Midbar. All of Torah's a little bit less than 2,500 years. And about 2,000 of it is just in Bereishis.
How is this world 6,000 years old?
How is it? It's not yet. It's 5784.
I said close to 6,000
years. It's close to 6,000, correct.
A third of it is already two parshas into the world.
Right. It's clear from Chumash that the main point is we want to talk about Avram Avinu and his family. But we do a quick synopsis of 2,000 years before that. And that's what Parsha Bereishis and Noach is. And we slow it down. And we start talking about Avram, our forefather.
Right, but from Lech Lecha to the end of the Parsha, to the end of the Torah, how many years is that?
About 540. Less than that, because Avram's 75 in Vinich Lech Lecha, so under 500.
Can I give a cute idea about why?
Yes.
Because at the beginning of time, when they lived a lot longer, life went by a lot quicker.
And therefore...
And now after, when by Avram's time, when life was shortened, it was slower.
So just like the life span score. Okay, I don't know. I'm not sure if that's true.
I just thought of it honestly.
Yeah, maybe.
Let's see if this doesn't make any sense. That's already 2,500 years. That's over.
Yeah, so?
Almost half of this universe is creation. And we haven't even gotten to...
What?
It's not a book about creation. It's a book about the laws.
I understand. But if you just do simple math for a second, the Torah spans over 2,500 years, right?
Correct.
So that's...
Then we have Navi, which we haven't gotten to.
Navi, Kesuvim, and then
all
of both Bismitishes, Bavel,
right,
and then all the things that happened, like the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes, and how you're going where?
What?
And where are you going with this? I'm just curious.
Like where's the 3,000 years?
What?
How's that 3,000 years?
What's 3,000 years? It was 2,500. Then another 1,500 till like Korban Beis Hamikdash. In the last 2,000 years that we're experiencing now till Mashiach, hopefully before that, hopefully Mashiach is coming this year. It's been such a terrible year. Hopefully we had Melchemet Gog u'Magog now.
Especially based on your calculations.
I know my calculations are like this year's year 6,000 already. Okay, it's a little separate thing. Anyways, listening to the recording doesn't understand, but okay, fine. Moving on.
I don't understand.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Shut up.
You should know. Ezra Wallach sent me a thing saying, I remember your calculations. Tell me again. We're in 6,000, right? So I sent him a thing. Anyway. Not now. Not for now. According to the Sforno, and according to the Akedat Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, the original plan of God was to just have monotheism. There was no need for Judaism. But after the three major sins of Parshat Bereishis and Noach being the sin of Eitz Hadat, and the sin of the Mabul, and the sin of Migdal Bavel. So then God had to go to Plan B. And Plan B, he starts with Avram and his family, and they become the role models for humanity. The Netziv points out that Sefer Bereishis is also referred to by Chazal as Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar is because the Avot and the Imaot lived upright, ethical lives. And we're supposed to learn from their actions. And that's why we have the book of Bereishis, because before we get to Torah, we know the famous aphorism, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. First learn how to be a mensch, and then we'll give you the Torah. So we study the stories of the Avot and the Imot in Sefer HaYashar, and now we're ready after that to go and get the Torah. If the purpose of the Torah is to teach Emunah and to live a God-centered life, like the Ramban says, then we start with Bereishis. This is mandatory. We need to first live a God-centered life. The theme of the book is the covenant between Avram and God and the success of the family to continue in his derech. And the book ends with the 70 souls going down to Mitzrayim. And it picks it right up in Shmos Shmos is sometimes referred to as Sefer Hasheni, because it picks up right away. In fact, the first word of Shmos is Ve'ela, with that Vav, Vav HaChibor. Right? We're connecting to what we just had in Bereishis. We're going straight into it. We're talking about how we started as a clan of 70 and we turned into a nation of 600,000 army-age men ready to go out and to get the Sefer Torah. We know that we refer to, Chazal say, we go through the 6 days of creation, Yom HaShishi. I say Yom HaShishi because the world was dependent upon accepting the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. HaShishi, it's referring to if we'll accept the Torah on HaShishi of Sivan, then the world will be created. If not, not. So this is significance. We need to get the Aseret HaDibrot. The Aseret HaDibrot are just categories. Says Rav Saadi Gaon, I could put, and he does, the 613 mitzvot into 10 categories. Right? It's sort of cute that 6, 1, and 3 equals 10. Not sure if Rav Saadi Gaon figured that out. He probably needed me to do that. But 6, 1, and 3 is 10, and he has all of the Tariq mitzvot falling under these 10 categories. This is the connection. And we have Bereishis going at the Shmos. We went from slavery in Egypt to Matan Torah. And there's a midrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to the nations and asked them if they want the Torah. He went to Yishmael.
Is that in the Torah?
What?
That's not in the Torah?
No.
It's not in the Torah. This is a midrash.
I hate my Jewish life.
Okay. There's a midrash. Midrash says that he went to Ammon and Moab and says, do you want to keep what's in the Torah? And they said, what's in it? He said, well, you now have Gilui Arayos. You know, Gilui Arayos, that's how we became about. You know, our ancestors slept with his daughters. Nah, it's not for us. So Ammon and Moab reject. Went to Esav and Yishmael and asked them. And each one said, what's in it? And one said, oh, you can't murder. Murder, that's what we do.
Come on.
Yes, Yishmael, whatever people want to say. Okay. Went to Esav. So it's all Avodah Zarah. No, that's what we do. And they rejected it. Now, the obvious question on this midrash is, all of those things are part of the Semitz B'nai Noach. Everyone has to do those things. So it's a little bit weird, you know, if they wanted to say what's in it, we should have said like, you know, Shatnez, Basav HaChalav, something that they don't have to do. So it's a little bit weird that God throws at them things they have to do anyway. It's a little bit weird that they say no thanks. What do you mean no thanks? You have to do it anyway. So a famous idea is they were disqualified once they said what's in it. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give you a present. You don't say what's in it. You say, yes, please. Can I have two? Right? But it's free. I'll take three. So, right? But this was the disqualification. I told Rabina a joke this morning. I thought it was very funny. My friend said it like, he said it differently. Modern day Midrash said, God went to the Italians, went to the mafia, yeah. Said, you want the Torah? Said, what's in it? Said, you can't steal. No, we're out. Said, went to the French, what's in it? Goes, you can't adultery. Said, no, we're out. Went to the Germans, said, what's in it? Can't murder. No, we're out. Went to the Haredim, said, what's in it? 6 days you shall work. Said, now we're out. So, Abino's laughing for about a good 5 minutes. Anyway.
So
he's a Talmud of Rabino. Anyway, now.
No, I heard the one where like,
okay,
what's
okay.
In it? It's how much? It's free. I'll take two.
Okay. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know in the beginning of Shmos says Shalach et ami. What's the next word?
Say that one more time.
Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, Shalach et ami, and there's one more word. Vayavduni. Good.
Okay.
also in English, we sometimes say "Let my people go," and we forget that the next part is "And then serve me." If you look at Sefer Shmos, it's divided into two parts. The first part is the Exodus. The next part is getting the Torah and building the Mishkan. Vayavduni. So this is the important part. We've spoken in the past about the Chet HaEgel is like what do we have? Parshat Truma Tetzaveh, and then we have a repeat in Vayakal Pekudei. Do you remember the idea we said last year, the honeymoon? Do you remember this from Rav Lichtenstein?
No, but
I'll
back in my
recording. Okay. Rav Lichtenstein explained, why was there a need to have pretty much a word-for-word repetition of Parsha Truma Tetzaveh, the building of the Mishkan, the making of the Big Day Kohanim? Oh, what comes in between? Says, we have the Chet Egel Hazav. So his mashal was before you get married, you're so excited, you're so in love, you're engaged, you went and you found a perfect apartment that you're going to rent, you're now buying clothing and linens and dishes and you're decorating your apartment and everything's so exciting. This is your dream house that you're building together. Then you have the wedding. And then, he says, during the honeymoon, he goes through a whole long thing, which I'm not going to get into. He spells out, he gives the whole story. But it turns out she goes back and she meets an old boyfriend and she cheats on her husband during the honeymoon. And he walks into his room, honey, I'm home, only to find her in bed with an old flame. And she's apologetic. He, of course, like runs out with his, you know, the blanket wrapped around him like in all the movies. And, you know, and she's there crying and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. Can you forgive me? And let's say this is not Jewish law, which obviously you would not be able to take her back. Let's say non-Jew. He says, okay, I'll take you back. Rav Lichtenstein said, they now obviously cut the honeymoon short. He pays the bill. They drive back home and they get to their dream house. Is there the same, like, love looking at, oh, those are the curtains we picked up together. Look at the beautiful dishes. No. Everything's changed. We went to the Egel Azav. We did exactly that. We went back to an old flame. We had been into Avodah Zarah before we accepted a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We went back to Avodah Zarah. Kaddish Baruch Hu had every reason to say, fine, I'll take you back, but our relationship will never be the same. But he said, when I forgive you, I mean it. And we start afresh. And therefore, the exact same attention to detail. We don't just say, oh yeah, and they did everything that we spoke about before. Truma Tetzava were the instructions. Vayakob Akudi was the construction. It could have easily just summed it up. Vayas Moshe Kasher Tziva Hashem. But we'll go through all the details again to show that the same love was there. This is the beauty of Yavduni. We'll come back to the relationship. Vayikra, as we said before, this is a completion of the Mishkan. According to the Ramban, God didn't want it to be a one-time Maimon Har Sinai. We want to take that experience, that Shechina being together with Bnei Yisrael, to be able to take that with us. And now we have the laws of Tumah and Tara and Karbanot. The essence is dealing with Kedusha. We deal with Kedushat HaAdam, the person, we talk about Kohanim. We talk about Kedushat HaMakom, we talk about the Mishkan. Kedushat Zman, all of the chagim mentioned in Parashat Emor in Vayikra. Now, Bamidbar, very interesting. After Bereshis, it's my favorite book of Chumash. Bamidbar can be divided in half in two different ways. The easiest way is to say the first five parashiot happened in year 2. The last five parashiot happened in year 40. Okay? That is the easiest way to divide the Parshiot of Bamidbar. You look at the Parshiot over there on the sheet that I gave you. But there's a different way. Chapters 1 through 10, and then 11 through 36, the end. And the division would be Lechatchila versus Bidi Eved. We receive the Torah and the Mishkan as a portable Har Sinai. We're keeping the Shechina, and then we're ready to march to Eretz Yisrael. That was the goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe at the burning bush. We need to take them out of Egypt and bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And they were all ready to go, and it was ruined. And it was ruined. The way Rashi views like the Mishkan as Bidyeved, we only have it because of Cheda Egel. The whole last 26 prakim of Bamidbar is Bidyeved. Moshe was ready to go. He was like telling Yitro, we're going now, come join us. And then we have the mitonanim, and the people start complaining, and everything gets messed up. And that's right there in Perakid Aleph. If we wouldn't have had this, we never would have had the Meraglim, we never would have had Korach rebellion. Moshe would have let us into Eretz Yisrael. It would have been totally different. We would have had a totally different ending. Chumash would have ended there. This was what was, it just didn't happen. It was meant to be, it didn't happen. So it's the two ways of dividing up Bamidbar. Devarim are the last 37 days of Moshe's life.
That's it.
According to the Barbanel, Moshe took it upon himself to explain mitzvot that he felt were not clear to Bnei Yisrael, and to give Musar about understanding God's role in our lives, we call Hashgachat Hashem and Schar Va'onash. And there were new mitzvot added in Devarim. They were taught now because they were only relevant now. It wasn't relevant to the generation in the Midbar, but now they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe knows he's about to die, and this generation needed to learn this. The three main speeches. The first is not to be lazy. You have to make sure you conquer the land. The second, the longest speech, deals with emunah, mitzvot, setting up a justice system and society. And the third is renewing the covenant with Hashem. And then at the end, it's like a farewell. After the speeches, God said, you know what? Those are great speeches. Let's add it to the Torah. Our Moshe said it, he didn't expect it to be part of the Torah, but God says, all right, let's add it to the Torah. Now, the influence of the Torah is felt throughout the world, teaching concepts of monotheism, one God for all of mankind, one universal standard of morality, which today in the Western world is known as Judeo-Christian ethics.
What?
That's where the Torah is. You know, they threw in the Christian, I don't know where it came from, but Judeo-Christian ethics. The obligation, I think it's funny, they refer to themselves as Gentiles, which just means like non-Jews. Right? There's Jews and Gentiles. Okay? The obligation to come from, there's like a Goyim defense league, right? The obligation to care for the poor, widow, orphans, strangers, as the Torah says, I am my brother's keeper. Once a week to refrain from work, also a concept that made its way into Western society, and make the day a holy day, a Sabbath. As the Torah states, man does not live by bread alone. We need spirituality. And even the concept of the Jews being a chosen people has made its way into Western society. It was accepted by both Christianity and Islam. They accept the Torah as divine. They just felt that now they're the new messengers. But they all accept the Torah and that the Jews were chosen. They just think that they're the new choice. So all these ideas of the Torah has made its way throughout all of what we're used to in Western society, the impact of the Torah. Next time we meet, we'll talk about Nevi'im. Shkayach.